This is CliffCentral.com.
For the love and roller go wild. But when did you not go to Tanya? Girl, your body no tie. The way you move your body, you eat. My friends think I'm crazy. They say that you're gonna leave me. You'll always be my baby. Cause you're everything that I need. How about I feel as a door feet?
No Borders, CliffCentral.com. KF Malindi Jr. here every Friday, 1 to 2 p.m. What's going on? It's kind of sunny. It's kind of weird. The weather is weird. It's sunny and then it's cloudy and then you know it's going to rain, but then you don't want to wear a sweater now because then you'll be sweating. Very confused weather. Very bad for a Friday. Diamond, what's good, my brother? How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad, man. We're going to get into our discussion, you know, get into our deep discussion in a bit, but it's a Friday. Let's start off a bit relaxed. And talk about the song that I just played. So I always tell people on social media, Twitter and stuff, and I'm always like, yo guys, if you've got music that you know you want to promote, we're always looking out for, you know, young, talented individuals, up and coming individuals.
Yes.
And I bumped into this song called You by a kid called King Avery on Twitter. Listened to it and it was actually really dope. So I'm like, yo, what's up, fam? Send me the song. You know, let's play it on the station, and we finally did. So that's You from King Avery featuring Cutter Rhymes Cutter, something like that. But yeah, King Avery, Twitter is blowing up right now. If you want the SoundCloud link, go to my Twitter at KFJR2 and you'll see retweets that I've done of King Avery. And shout out to you, my brother. Keep doing good, keep playing that, keep making that music, and we'll keep trying to play it. Kid all the way from Zimbabwe too, very young kid, all the way from Zimbabwe.
Very puff song.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the vocals were exceptional. I mean, the engineering, everything, the production, I could feel that Zimbabwe-ness in this song. Especially now, everyone is trying to be Zimbabwean. Everyone wants to be Zimbabwean.
No, definitely so, definitely so. It shows the amount of talent
that is
untapped in the country.
untapped and unresourced. Mm. You know what I mean? There's no capital, man.
The diamonds in the rough.
The diamonds in the rough. Tisungo da zacho. Anyway, so, Charge Gatapua Diamond, legal practitioner. I mean, you know, known you for a while, brother. We've had so many conversations. Right now, we want to talk about, so, I mean, it's been very contentious over the past week. We saw Nelson Chamisa, right?
Correct.
Welshman Nube Tendai BT.
Yes.
And another one, Dewama Vinga. Who are in the United States on a tour, in inverted commas. And we are not too sure what the agenda of that tour is. Allegations are that they have gone to, well, they definitely did sit before the U.S. Senate Foreign Foreign Relations Committee. And, well, no one knows exactly why they're there, the intentions, the agenda of the meetings. The assumption is and the allegations are that they have gone to ask the U.S. government, U.S. Senate and government, to continue with the former policy, foreign policy that they had in place.
Yes.
Which is a roundabout way of saying don't remove sanctions.
Yes. There are sanctions.
Exactly. These are allegations. But there have been media reports where we've been told that they've denied that this is why they went there. But then they still said that, well, the agenda of the meeting was private. So, yeah. I mean, from your perspective, what do you think? Do you think this is truth or not?
Well, in the absence of all the information, like currently we are dealing with speculation, but it has come out in one of the clips, which is around where Tendai Biti was speaking. The conclusion was that he made was we need to keep the status quo, specifically with regards to sanctions. Now we need to keep the status quo.
Yes, that clip is undoubtable. It was there. It has leaked, and he is seen very much saying that we should not remove sanctions. Oh wait, yes. We should maintain the current policy.
Yes. And then the benchmark is to say, are we going to have free and fair elections? That is going to be the detail. That's going to detail us to say, should they then remove the sanctions?
Mm.
You know. So.
Okay. So, I mean, that is definite. And like you've clearly said, that evidence is there.
Yes.
What do you think of that stance coming from the MDC alliance? Well, this is an alliance, right?
Correct. It's an alliance.
The MDC alliance. What do you think in terms of this position that they've decided to take? And do you think at this critical point in time of our history that was the right decision to make?
Probably before we go in and start shooting, probably the first thing that we have to look at, we have to say, before the coup, General Chiwenga left the country. Mm-hmm. He went to China.
Yeah.
He went to China and he came back.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we have seen that people can go anywhere and come back into the country. We are not privy to the details and the reasons why General Chiwenga went outside.
Mm-hmm.
So probably, giving the benefit of doubt, we could give the same benefit to the guys, to the MDC Alliance guys. They just went overseas and had meetings there, right?
Okay.
But the unfortunate part now is that we are privy to information that they were discussing.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know much about Chiwenga. Probably was planning the coup and all sorts of things, probably mobilizing backup.
The coup, not coup. But anyway, yeah.
Okay, the free and fair coup.
Yeah.
See, so the unfortunate part now that the MDC Alliance find itself in is the public backlash. Is that they are there.
Well, I mean, but these are two very different examples or situations that we're speaking of. Mm-hmm. We have standing relations with China.
Yes.
So for General Chiwenga to be in China at just before the coup, not coup, I don't think it raises any red flags in terms of the benefit of the nation.
Yes.
Here we definitely know that these guys had gone to the United States. They did sit before the U.S. Senate for Foreign Relations Committee.
Yes.
And they have pushed for the remaining of the current policy that is against Zimbabwe, which is sanctions.
Without beating about the bush.
So I mean, now what I'm saying is that, do you think, firstly, from a political level, from a state level, and from a social level as the people of Zimbabwe, do you think this is the best way forward? One, for MDC policy as a party, and two, is it the best thing for the country of Zimbabwe?
With the current status quo of Zimbabwe, it is not the correct stance. For me personally, you know, personally, I would think they were not even supposed to have gone overseas and discuss Zimbabwe overseas before they engage the people of Zimbabwe.
Yes, exactly. So, yeah. I mean, that's definitely something that I agree on. Have they even tried to engage the current government? have they engaged their constituents? Because they do have parliamentary seats. They do hold parliamentary seats. Have they, have they engaged the people? Why is it? It's about 2 to 3 weeks in of a new government.
Yes.
And the first thing you're being seen is running overseas. To the West. Going overseas is one thing. I mean, if it was South Africa, there are certain people that we do understand that, you know, engagement is necessary as a political party, as maybe shadow ministers or their shadow government. To. But then the U.S., I think at this point in time,
it's very
toxic. For optics, is not a good look for the MDC, and there has been immense backlash on social media.
Yes, but also look at it this way, that in Zimbabwe, if we talk about propaganda, we don't have enough machinery. We talk about state machinery that is there to support the left wing, which is the MDC alliance and so forth, right? So the little that we know, the little that we have now, will definitely work in the hands of ZANU-PF. But first and foremost, I believe what they should have done, this goes to whoever is advising the MDC alliance. First and foremost, I personally think what they should have done is to go back and speak to the people of Zimbabwe. They need to align themselves. They need to align their agenda with the needs of the people of Zimbabwe. You know, at least get a mandate from the people of Zimbabwe.
Yes, exactly. You know? Yeah. What do the people want?
Yes.
President Emmerson Mnangagwa has been very clear. The voice of the people is the voice of God.
Yes, you know. So they also, there is also a missing link there. They should also have consulted him.
What do you think in regards, because I think all this boils down to the opposition has lost its footing. Why? Because instead of them being the victors of the day and having removed Robert Mugabe, ZANU-PF did it on its own.
Yes.
This has definitely given leverage back to ZANU-PF as a party. Definitely. It has given even more leverage to President Emmerson Mnangagwa. And obviously, the country is in love with the man that is Emmerson Mnangagwa.
Yes.
Which is fearful, which is why the opposition is fearful. If elections were to be held today, they would most likely lose. And
They would definitely lose.
Without any need of rigging whatsoever. But the assumption was, during the transition, an assumption was that a transitional authority would come into power.
Yes.
That is made up of multi-party institutions. Now, but then I don't understand the opposition, because I think at one point they did want a multi-party transitional authority, but then they're also the very same people who are pushing for elections.
Yes.
So Emmerson Mnangagwa then said, okay, fine, you want us to keep this democratic? Should we have elections now? Let's go ahead and have elections.
There were areas of contention coming from the opposition, because it is crystal clear that there were discussions between Emmerson Mnangagwa before he came in, and even after, when he was after the inauguration, so it was Mary, everyone was there. There was that possibility, but the word which is going around is that the leader of the opposition, he also wanted to be part and parcel of that transitional government. He also wanted to handpick certain comrades within the ranks of the Movement for Democratic Change, of which Emmerson Mnangagwa, President Emmerson Mnangagwa, was saying that he would need specific people. So I believe the exclusion, that's the word now which is going around in circles, the exclusion of the leader of the opposition in that setup, that is the thing that led to the whole collapse.
But that's confusion in itself, because what we have to take into consideration is that what happened in ZANU-PF was a ZANU-PF matter.
Correct.
There is no need, if President Trump dies today, it's John Pence who becomes president. Yes. It remains within the party.
Yes.
The party that won the election. Different constitutions have different ways to deal about it.
Things.
You know, 90-day periods, elections for some. Some would finish off the whole term as it is. So, yes. I mean, it just depends. But then what happened in Zimbabwe is going according to the law. And there was no need for any inclusion of the opposition. That was something that...
Out of the goodness
of ZANU-PF and President Emmerson Mnangagwa.
But also, it was also what the people wanted.
Yes,
because
that
people in Zimbabwe have been saying, we want change. You saw everyone, irrespective of race.
But then, so that's color. What I'm saying. There were two options.
Yes.
And the options were, okay, do we go for elections in 2018? We only have 6 months before elections, which is very unfortunate. We don't have enough time to pave
and
way for the
money.
Right sort of environment.
Yes.
The budget afforded 143 million for elections, which is
not
peanuts.
Enough.
It's not enough.
Not enough.
Some people have suggested having a referendum.
Yes.
To find out whether we should have elections. I'm like, okay, yeah, what? This is ridiculous. You want us to have a referendum
to have elections
or not have elections? I mean, there's a lot that I think the people of Zimbabwe are confused as well. But I think what Emmerson Mnangagwa has done to legitimize everything and say, okay, fine, the opposition, you have said you want elections.
Yes.
Let's go for elections.
But now the decision to say we want elections, this came in after they could not agree on the terms and conditions of the transition government.
Okay.
Yes. So that is what was done. But now, look, wherever we are now, the issue of sanctions is there. This is going to haunt the left wing miles. Mm-hmm. It's going to dent their political campaign. For them to come back to the people of Zimbabwe and align themselves and become relevant. Mm-hmm. You know, normally in our African culture, we say if there are issues that are happening in the house,
we deal with them in the house.
Deal them with in the house. If possible, if we can't deal with them in the house, we go to the nearest neighbor. Mm-hmm. Our nearest neighbor, we're talking about SADC.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the African Union. But then the MDC alliance decided to go to USA.
I think their fear as well is that if sanctions are removed, the environment would be very, very conducive for a ZANU-PF victory.
But now look, what have sanctions done? What have sanctions achieved? We can call them smart sanctions. We can call them
personalized sanctions, individual sanctions. Yeah, but individual sanctions will affect.
Yeah,
if your president cannot represent you in New York.
Yes.
Then I mean, even if it's just him, he is the representative of your country. So
the person who suffers, the people of Zimbabwe are the one who suffer. If you just put sanctions against Robert Mugabe, don't travel to France, don't travel to America. But what happens now is that the people, the proletariat, the working class, the ones who are down at the bottom of the food chain, are the ones who will suffer.
Mm-hmm.
And currently, the people of Zimbabwe are the ones who are suffering. It's not the politicians.
Mm-hmm.
Look, we had the biggest diamond field in the world. 15 billion went missing.
Mm-hmm.
We still have the diamonds in Zimbabwe, mm-hmm. right? But did sanctions stop anyone from looting from the diamonds?
No, in fact, they looted more.
More?
Yeah.
You understand? There was political violence in 2008. Sanctions were there. Mm-hmm. Did sanctions do anything to stop mm-hmm. that? No, sanctions didn't do anything.
And I think the biggest problem right now, mm-hmm. yes, there are certain issues and matters that still need to be addressed within the country. Social media has been rife with the Gukurahundi talk.
Yes,
that needs to be dealt with, obviously. But another thing is, he's been in power for 3 weeks, and the first thing you want him to do is like, okay, let's start the Gukurahundi. I think not to appropriate any level of importance to say one is higher than the other,
yes.
but obviously things have to go in a systematic manner.
Correct.
So yes, indeed, certain matters, 2008 has to be dealt with.
Definitely.
That was a stolen election.
Gukurahundi
has to be dealt with.
That is definite.
There's so many things. I mean, a political prisoners. There's so many issues that people still need to deal with.
Yes.
But the problem right now is that the opposition is dealing with social matters and dealing with the past instead of dealing with the future.
Yes.
Now, we're not saying that, the past is not important to be dealt with. But if you're going to attack this government, you need to attack them going forward to say, yes, these policies will fail. Instead of that policy, we want to present this policy. They have not put anything on the table to say, okay, if you vote for us, this is what we'll do. They're merely playing the blame game. In their campaign text, say, no, don't forget this guy Emmerson was under Robert Mugabe. It's the same person, same WhatsApp group, and so forth and so on.
And Emmerson Mnangagwa has come out and said that whatever we are doing now, this is a new Zimbabwe. This is a different Zimbabwe from what we had. You know, we have been talking, we have been in the opposition circles for quite a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
The campaign, the policy has always been Mugabe must go.
Mm-hmm.
Mugabe must mm-hmm. go. You understand?
Yes. So now that he's gone, what
we are caught flat-footed. Many people have been caught flat-footed because no one had prepared for this. You know, no one assumed it was. No one ever thought that Robert Mugabe would leave under the circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
We're saying, no, we are going to see how it's going to be in 2018 after the ZANU-PF
Congress. Yeah.
But he was still their candidate, preferred candidate for
exactly.
the election.
Yeah.
You know, so they were not prepared. The mm-hmm. opposition, the left wing, was not prepared for the sudden departure of Robert Mugabe.
Mm-hmm.
Because now they have to go back and do their homework. Emmerson Mnangagwa, yes, he was the deputy of Mugabe.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever, from his inauguration speech, the issues that he was raising and the tone that he was speaking
mm-hmm.
with,
mm-hmm.
it is different from that of
exactly.
Robert Mugabe.
And I've always said, I mean, you know, some people might assume bias towards, obviously, Emmerson Mnangagwa. But I have always said that ZANU-PF under Robert Mugabe was a stifled ZANU-PF.
Yes.
No one was able to act as an individual.
And to express themselves.
And yes, exactly. So no one could come out and say, no, we're against that policy.
Yes.
I heard that, I mean, rumor mill has it that cabinet, there was no debate in cabinet. Policies were presented,
goes.
Everyone said aye, and then
that's
you know,
it.
What he says goes. But now we've given these people a chance to actually express themselves. And I think besides his inauguration speech, Patrick Chinamasa's budget announcement, that just told us that, I mean, it was
things
clear that
changed.
Policy is going to change. Policy has begun to change. And the best thing that they did was acknowledge the mistakes that they made.
Yes.
Something that ZANU-PF has never actually done.
Yes.
So going forward, they've been progressive. One, they're saying, okay, we made mistakes here. This is what we now want to do. Unfortunately, the opposition is only focusing on the mistakes that they made.
In the
but
past.
Yes, but they're not focusing on, okay, what we will do going forward or criticizing even the budget that came out.
Yes.
And there's very little to criticize.
No, what do you criticize?
Exactly.
You know, because what needs to be done now, like we keep on going back to this. This is the hallmark of the opposition. They need to align themselves with what is happening now. There is a wave of change that is there within Zimbabwe. They need to ride on that wave.
Mm-hmm.
Because like now, everyone, you know, like when you're doing carpentry, you don't go across the grain.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy to swim across the current.
Yes, exactly.
They have to swim along the current.
Mm-hmm.
The opposition party, the MDC Alliance, and other opposition parties, but mostly the MDC Alliance,
mm-hmm.
is cutting the wood. They are going across the grain.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be easy. Because the people of Zimbabwe, the way they understand sanctions is that they are in their political,
mm-hmm.
economic situation now because of the sanctions.
Yes.
Sanctions do have an effect on the economy of the country,
mm-hmm.
because it's a veto.
Whether they're targeted individual sanctions or not, they definitely still have
an
effect.
Impact.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got an impact on the economy. And the people who suffer are the one on the ground. Like currently, the opposition party has to speak with a loud voice and speak of the electoral reforms.
Mm-hmm.
They have to speak to say the constitution, everything, all the pillars of democracy, mm-hmm. in Zimbabwe, they need to be aligned to the constitution.
Mm-hmm.
That is what they need to be speaking about now and engaging the masses.
Yes.
And also,
and even engaging ZANU-PF itself.
Yes.
To say, well, okay, fair and fine, guys. Okay, you removed Mugabe, but how are we going to go forward? Elections, fair and fine. Let's have elections, but we need this to change. We need that to change. Why doesn't that conversation begin at home?
Yes.
And then if it fails, then you can bring in your stakeholders. But 3 weeks after a transition, you're already in the West. I mean, the optics, and like once again, it's alleged. Well, not, no, it's not alleged, because the video clip is there.
It's there.
It might not be the actual agenda that they went there for. We're not too sure what the actual agenda is, but that definitely was raised as part of the agenda.
Yes.
And I mean, it's too early. Why don't you start at home first? And I mean, the optics are very bad for the MDC. Bias or no bias, and people have been very clear about how they feel about the MDC's US tour, another one in inverted commas.
Yes, you know. So yeah, you know, of course they had gone there to discuss many issues, you know. They have got the right, you know,
exactly,
they've got that freedoms to go and speak to whoever they want, you know. But the word, the news on the ground, the voice of the people, everyone is against that move. People are saying, no, this is a definite
especially
no.
Because it's also shrouded in secrecy.
Yes.
So if the agenda had been announced to say, this is why we're going to the United States, we want to discuss this, this and that, I think that openness with the people would have been, that transparency would have made it
a bit advocate
better.
Nelson Chamisa, he wrote and also apologized for that lack of information into the Zimbabwean community. Said, no, we apologize for not informing you.
Mm-hmm.
These are the people now. These are the voters.
Mm-hmm.
These are the people who give mandate to the politicians to say, no, we apologize for having that oversight. We went there, but this is what we are going to do. You know, if you look at whatever they were talking about, those things are good. Those things are profound.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the things that Zimbabwe needs. You understand? But I believe, and everyone saw, you know, would believe now, that what we need to do is to align ourselves to what the people of Zimbabwe want, to ride onto that wave, and everyone speak in one voice.
Exactly.
Raise exactly. There are a lot of things that were happening under ZANU-PF, which were not good, which were not right. All those things need to be addressed. But asking for a sudden change within 31 days...
It's ridiculous.
It's asking for too much.
Mm-hmm.
But asking for a platform, opening a dialogue,
yes.
An open dialogue,
yes.
between the MDC and ZANU-PF, that we can do.
I think they must have been, what the alliance actually should have done was draft a policy document to say, okay, this is the stance that you have taken as a new government.
Yes.
We're going to elections. However, this is what we see that needs to be done.
Yes.
Let's do this, let's do that, let's do this, let's do that. And then from there, that engagement with ZANU-PF would then decide, or would then is what would then they would use to decide what the best route
would be
to take. As opposed to just jumping the gun, not consulting anyone, not even presenting anything, an alternative to what they might think is wrong.
Yes.
For example, bringing up 2008, has this been like, or bringing up as a motion in parliament to say, okay, we need a body or a committee that needs to look into this and we need to then have it dealt with. I think they really did.
Before you even talk of 2008, we need to go back. There's a need. The constitution brings in to say there's a need for a truth and reconciliation commission. There is a need for people to forgive one another. There's a need to disclose what happened in Matabeleland. That was bad. The genocide, the atrocities which were committed there. That's one. There's also a need to address the issue of Operation Mrambatsina. People's houses were demolished. People were rendered homeless, yet they had worked their sweat and built houses. There's a need to address that. We also come to 2000, the election violence, the farm invasions. There is a need to bring that platform. But that platform can only be brought through engagement. Engagement with who? Between the people of Zimbabwe, the politicians, and all the social workers. Everyone, it has to be inclusive. Everyone has to be included in that. And then we can peacefully have a country going forward, you know. Because if they just do this, if they just go on their own to say, we are going to complain, we're going to raise these issues outside of Zimbabwe, that is going to bring a backlash from the people.
Exactly.
And currently, we have voters. Let me call them floating voters. There are a lot of voters out there who needs to be captured, the new voters, who needs to be captured.
Yeah, because a lot of people, MDC's voters, I think the majority of MDC voters like you said, they're floating voters. This is the only option that we have. We want Robert Mugabe gone, and this is the only decent option that we have.
Yes.
And that even fell apart as well, because let's not forget that Morgan Tsvangirai, according to the constitution of the MDC, should no longer be the president. So, I mean, if you're already flaunting your own constitution as a political party, what if we actually give you power, Baba? And then there are all his struggles, you know, his personal struggles with women after his wife died, rest in peace. But, I mean, he lost that credibility. And even up until now, his health issues as well were like, okay, Baba, you're clearly and visibly sick. You're not well. Why not, you know, allow for fresh blood to come in?
But look at it this way. For him to lose his wife, it was by grace of God that he didn't die.
Mm-hmm.
That was from ZANU-PF, right?
Well, I mean, alleged.
Not it.
Alleged.
Okay, let's not go there. But
these are conspiracy theories.
But you know the history of Zimbabwe. You know how accidents and
car accidents. Yeah, we know what we use car accidents
for. You understand? Or how people get run over by a train where there's no train, you know? See? So, yes, his wife passed on. We may so rest in peace. He's a powerful man. I believe a lot in Morgan Tsvangirai. The fight, I am within the working class. The workers. I love to represent the workers. He did something which is profound in the history of Zimbabwe.
Definitely, he cannot be left out of the history of
challenging
the
status quo, right? But in Zimbabwe, there's
tortured
that Zanuism.
For it, arrested for it. He's gone through. He's enjoyed
tall.
A lot. Yes.
Yeah, still standing up tall. You know, so with all that in mind, he still remained strong. He still remained standing. You know, so credit to him. Credit needs to be given to him. But in Zimbabwe, we have Zanuism in Zimbabwe. The Zanuism in Zimbabwe is to say that we don't speak about the succession debate. That succession debate is not there within the ranks of the MDC. As a result thereof, we have Morgan Tsvangirai with three deputy presidents. There is time now. I believe, personally for me, I think what could work well for the opposition party is for him to say, my fight was against Robert Mugabe. Now that Robert Mugabe is gone, I'm going to pass on the baton to the younger guys. Definitely not Nelson Chamisa. He still has time. Douglas Monzora,
I think a bit too abrupt.
He speaks.
Yeah.
He speaks well. He's very eloquent in terms of the policies. Tokozani Kupe, recently, she's a doctor. She has been got a doctorate degree, but then she suspended someone in Bulawayo, but that person had done something to her. So there's a conflict of interest, but she issued a letter of to suspend that person. So for me, she does not qualify to lead
so
the opposition.
In conclusion, there's still a lot that the opposition needs to do.
She needs to do.
They're making a lot of mistakes, but I mean, it is also is trial and error, and let's give them a chance. The same way we're giving this
Definitely.
New government a chance. Let's see what they present to us within the next 6 months. Hopefully, it's not more trips to the USA. Maybe they start speaking to us as the people first, so that we know who we want to vote for, so that we know the policies that they're bringing to the table, so that we know how we're moving forward as a country.
Definitely.
I think one of the biggest problems right now is that a lot of people still don't know what next in regards to how we're going to fix the government. And ZANU-PF has taken full advantage of that because they have told the people what they want to do.
Yes.
They brought a very good policy document in terms of the budget, and let's see from there. Thank you very much, Chajigata Poor Diamond, legal practitioner, my brother. Next time, stay tuned in. We've got Don Dada on the show, cliffcentral.com, No Borders, Kev Malindi. CliffCentral.com, No Borders, Friday, 1 to 2 p.m. What's up? Don Dada.
Yo, what's going on? What's going on? How you doing,
hey,
brother?
Man, been a minute, fresh off of Zim. You know, the inauguration, you were there.
Yeah, I was
trying
there.
To get a piece of the pie. I know you.
You know the hustle's
deep, opportunistic,
bro.
Man.
You know it goes.
How was the inauguration? What was the environment like on in Zimbabwe, the streets? Like,
oh,
you know,
it was crazy. It was electric. Like, everybody was full of excitement. I swear to God, I took like 50 pictures with soldiers. Like, these dudes just kept catching me and taking pictures. It was the first time I've ever seen like the nation so happy, like
so united.
Yeah. Everybody was just together, and everyone was enjoying. There was some white folks playing marimba. It was going down. Yeah. So it was just a beautiful scene to see.
And you went specifically to perform, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So what was that? Was that planned? Or like a spur of the moment?
Spur of the moment type thing. Like when I heard that Mugabe was going on air, like that was the weekend before, he was going on air to go and give his resignation speech, right? So when that was happening,
yeah, that was Sunday.
That was the Sunday.
But then
yeah.
He didn't resign.
He didn't. He did. He faked us. He hit us with the jokes. Yeah.
Asante sana.
You know what I mean? So I was like, okay, cool. Let's see what's going down. So I went and I started writing my song. You know what I mean? Kubatana Zimbabwe. And I was just thinking about the situation and like how I could speak about it, how I could
speak
into it from South Africa.
That's your job as an artist, to spread a message, to speak about what's going on within society.
100%, yeah. So I sat in the studio, I recorded the song, and then I finished the song, I watched the speech, he jokes us, I was like,
wait,
man.
Wait, this all happened on a Sunday?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, oh, one move. So like now when he jokes us, I was like, okay, cool, I don't know if I can still do what I want to do,
you know what I mean?
Because this homie, he might just come back, you know what I mean? He don't die, he's like, terminated part four. So okay, cool. So I chilled, and then like he did step down, and I was like, no man, I need to go to Zim, like it's going down right now. And then when I'm making my plans to get through there, because I was supposed to do a charity event for a guy that he needed a hip replacement.
Yeah, I remember mom's told me about that. Yeah.
So now I'm planning to go through for that, and then I find out, look, Ja Prayers is going to be doing a performance for like the after party of the inauguration. It's only in Africa we do that. We have an after
the party for an inauguration.
You know what I mean?
Man,
we hold it down.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, cool. I'm going through to that. So like I spoke to the homies. I knew one or two people that were involved, and I was like, please, bruv, like I'm not trying to get paid or nothing. I just want to get on the stage.
You want to be a part of history.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
part of
yeah.
that conversation, part of that movement. That,
100%.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I mean, that was a monumental time for our country.
Yeah,
man.
And I felt like, because they had Bob Marley in 1980.
80, yeah,
you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
And he came and he performed. I need to be the next Dread on there. You know what I mean? That was on the mind right there. I'm the next. I'm like Marley Jr. right now. So I got through, and like thankfully they gave me the opportunity to perform my song, and actually more than my song, because I just asked them for the song. They said, cool, no problem. Next thing I get there, they're like, bruv, do your thing. I'm like, what? All set?
Just go on.
So we did like a whole 15-minute set. The people, like, it was supposed to start off with a sound check. It wasn't a sound check. It turned into
performance.
People just came through the gates. It was nuts. I threw my chain in the crowd. It was nuts.
Man, why wasn't I there? Snap. But then recently, besides the song that you did record on the Sunday just before, we'll call it Zimbabwe's Independence Day, because that's Independence Day.
Yeah.
18th of November, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
But you did have an album that just released.
Yeah.
Tell us a bit about the album, name of the album, you know what I mean?
Man.
And I actually listened to it first, You know, sometimes I got a lot of celebrity friends, yeah. but they don't treat me like a celebrity because I never get to hear things
first. But you are, though.
I never get invited to what's it called? To studio sessions.
Homie, I'm with
or,
you.
Or music video shoots. everyone just comes on the show like, yo, man, you know, I want to drop my new track. I'm like, yeah, but I mean, oh, come on, man. You know? But at least I heard this album. I was one of the first people to hear this album.
Yes.
In mom with moms and pops. You know, yeah. We were driving over to the studio and stuff, and yeah. they played the album. Like, it's ridiculous. But I mean, tell us a bit. Tell the listeners a bit about the album.
So, it's so weird because now everything that I'm doing right now, everything is tied to Zimbabwe. Mm-hmm. So the name of the album is House of Stone, which is basically the English translation.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So that's the English translation. For y'all that don't know, that's what you're saying. When you say Zimbabwe, it's the House of Stone. We don't break. Yeah. So that's what I did. And then I thought, you know what? I'm going to make an EP. So an EP, like I looked online in the EP, they talking about like 5 songs, mm-hmm. no more than a half an hour of compilation of music. Mm-hmm. That's the iTunes specification.
Okay.
I was like, but I wasn't born when they made iTunes.
Yeah.
So I'm putting like 8 songs on here. So okay. I put 8, and then my mom liked, like she was like, no, I love it, but you need to put one more. So she recommended a song. I put that. That's 9. And then with the Zimbabwe, that's not like my special 10th song. So not like
exactly.
my EP is almost an
an
album.
LP, you know what yeah. I mean? Yeah. Yeah.
But I feel like it's very diverse. If you listen to the songs, it'll go like into a trap type of a sound, then into reggae. It's got like I'm trying to focus my songs towards women right now. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna lie to you, cause the homies ain't being too kind. You ain't buying the music,
yeah,
homies.
Yeah.
You ain't buying the music. You see me right now on Facebook. You ain't buying the music. So you know I had to do it for the ladies. And I feel like yeah, it's something that's more. I feel like a personal album because mm-hmm. I'm talking about personal relationships and all of that, yeah, but at yeah. the same time, very relatable for people. So if you want to know what I mean by that, download the album, iTunes, Google Play, Deezer, Spotify. It's out there. Mm-hmm. Get it and let
Sweet.
Me know.
House of Stone, Dandada.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so when are we shooting the video? Like, okay, wait, tell us about the song that we just played. That's my favorite song.
Yeah, yeah, Amagwala. So it's basically, the English version is basically saying, like, you can see these the cowards running away. Mm. And now, like, the big dog. They out here. We out here now.
Man,
so.
this album sounds like very much focused on. Like, you know what I mean? It sounds like you knew this was about to happen, and they're like, really, the cow was running away. Okay,
that's the thing. It's like God was speaking to me with this song because I swear I didn't plan a lot of it. It's just it fell into place. Just Kubarana. That one I'll have to take. But yeah, man, it's about the cowards running away and the real people being here. And it's also like very, I call that sound African trap mm-hmm. because I put the trap drum pattern, but I'm using only African instruments, marimbas, all types is going in on there. So I'm experimenting with sounds. I'm trying to bring out something new. I've got my girl Seed Under on there. She's my artist as well. She's hitting the verses in Xhosa. Yo, killer.
Yeah.
And she does Mqwaito. So that's something else. That's another swag. So yeah, we're trying to incorporate all of that.
And I always say, you know what I mean? The arts have done, you know, I always say this, the arts have done a better job at uniting Africa, at pan-Africanism, than any other institution on the African continent. Our governments have failed.
Yeah.
Our parents have failed even more. We have xenophobia.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a slave trade kind of occurring in Libya.
Yeah,
but music has brought us together. I mean, now you've got Nigerians collaborating with South Africans, South Africans collaborating with Zimbabweans. I mean, Joburg has become the hub of music within
it
the
has,
region.
Yeah.
It's so much money. Music is an industry now.
Yes.
I mean, like, when I was growing up, if I was like, yo, mom, I want to be a rapper, she'd be like, what?
No.
Nowadays, they're actually like, yo, don't you rap?
Exactly,
like,
exactly.
You know, look at Casper. He just filled up the dome.
Exactly.
Now, he just filled up F&B Stadium.
And he
you know
killed
I mean?
It, yeah.
And that's an industry. That's growth. And I mean, the number of different, and the infusion of our tradition and our culture within the music is something that I think Africa should be really proud of. The initial stages of our music was very iffy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We were very copycat trying
to find our feet.
We're
at
trying
the
to
time.
Find our feet.
Yeah.
But now it's worked so well in our identity as Africans, and to the extent that the West is copying us. You know what I mean?
See them. Yeah.
Did you
hear
that Tekno was just he was signed by Sony, and they want to republish re-release Pana.
Okay.
So beautiful. one exec randomly bumped into the song and they're like, wait, hold up, this is dope.
Very different.
You know what I mean? Is it RCA? I think it's RCA or Jive, one of the two. It's actually not so an RCA. Okay. But he's actually, and there's a picture that's going around on social media of him sitting next to Drake.
Oh man, he killed
it. They're like, yo, Drake is probably trying to get his Niger accent on properly for the next Drake album. You know what I mean?
Straight up.
But I mean, that's the influence that African music has had. Do you think that you guys are being taken seriously now as musicians? In obviously in South Africa because you're based in South Africa, but even back home in Zim, what did you feel about the industry? What did you see?
It's so different out in Zimbabwe. It's like it's still developing out there. But what I saw is the passion, because like this is, like you said, in South Africa, it's developed to such a point where this industry can pay you a lot of money if you do the right things. You
and
know
pay
what I mean?
A lot of people, not just the artists,
one or two.
The photographers getting paid, the videographers getting paid. FNB Stadium is getting paid.
You know? Yeah, it's even Standard Bank industry. Got involved to pay FNB.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
So yeah, straight up. But in Zim, it's more like they're not making that amount of money in Zimbabwe, but they're still making music.
Yeah.
Which speaks now towards passion, because if you ain't getting paid and you're still doing it, your heart's all the way in it.
Word.
And I love that feeling about it. I feel like we still have a long way to go, like on simple things. Like first off, we need to sort out our own type of Samro situation. Mm. We just don't get no royalties.
Because we do have Zimura in Zimbabwe, but apparently like very few artists ever get paid. They
don't
see their checks.
They never do. So like we need to sort that out. We need to have, like, you know how they have Mjuito, the music a week out here in South Africa, and you got the conference and you go through and you can meet producers and learn about the industry. We need that out there. We need to develop the artists and arm them with tools. But I mean, for unarmed men, they fight pretty well out there. you know what I mean? Like the music's power.
Even the new government has acknowledged, I think, was it the budget? It was the budget, I'm sure, where allocation was made to arts and culture.
Yes.
And they have said, and even just recreation centers. And I mean, ZANU-PF has been very clear that we need recreation centers. It's also a way of making sure that kids don't go on the streets.
Yes.
Not everyone makes it, you know, to university. Not everyone makes it into college after high school. And, you know, people just end up roaming the streets drinking codeine.
You know
what I mean? So, I mean, keep them out of that and, you know, push them into recreation centers. Work with the arts. Oliver Mtukudzi has been very good at that.
I was about to mention.
You know what I mean? He's got Pakaripai in Norton. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's a center, you know, where kids can go and learn how to play instruments, sing, you know, the whole enchilada. I think that's something that definitely needs to.
We need to look into it. We need to look into like a school of excellence, something like the National School of the Arts, where we can actually say that these and target talented children and actually groom them to be in that industry. And not just on the musician side as well. We need to look at music business law, contractual law.
Yes,
we need to empower that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like I said, it's actually a whole industry if people really focus their efforts on it. But do you see you know the industry progressing outside? Because another thing is it's mainly South Africa, Nigeria, a bit of Ghana, Tanzania.
Yeah.
They've got one person, you know what I mean? They got Diamond
Platnumz.
But I mean, there's still a lot to do in Africa as a whole, and you know, it's kind of centered around just two countries.
Yeah.
What do you think the way forward is?
I feel like, look, after all of this change that's happened in Zimbabwe right now, especially with Emerson coming in and all, I know personally a lot of people are thinking like, dude, this is like, we're going to go back home.
Yeah, yeah.
And what comes back with a lot of these people comes back a lot of skills. I know a dude out in
the
UK.
That's another thing I was going to actually ask you. Like, I mean, so, you know, we have a lot of people in the diaspora.
Yeah.
You know, what are your views as someone who's also in the diaspora?
Yeah, I feel like, look, I want to do all that I can to empower Zimbabwe. Like, that's home, you know, like, but I'm stuck in two worlds. It's weird for me. My daughter, like, I grew up in South Africa. Yeah. I was here from 1994. I did, like, my whole life out here. My daughter was born in Sandton Clinic. Her mom is from Aldo's. You know what I mean? So, like, I'm South African, but at the same time, I'm Zimbabwean. I want to empower Zimbabwe. I want to help them as much as possible, as much as I can, whether it be passing on knowledge and my skills onto the next, or even going down and helping dudes to set up. Like, okay, cool, you want to have a studio running, you want to learn how to run Pro Tools. I've studied Pro Tools. Yeah. I can teach you. I can sit down and start, you know, educating dudes on those type of things. So from my perspective, that's what I would do. I know people in the UK. I have a cousin. He produced, I don't know if you know Skepta.
He produced
for Skepta. He also did
Skepta UK, right?
Yeah, UK. Yeah. He did, you know, Chipmunk?
Yeah, yeah, Chipmunk,
he did Chipmunk's first album, the one that went gold.
He was signed by Grand Hustle, by T.I. for a minute, right?
Yeah. My cousin did like half of his album, Kyle Abrams, out there in Zimbabwe.
Oh, wow.
He's just landed back out there. He's also talking about starting up a studio, getting things popping.
Exactly,
that's like man, that knowledge is gold. Mm-hmm. Like, just to sit with him for an hour. So, like, there's so many people with so many skills that are going to all bring it back. Or even if they don't bring it back, find a way how to feed it back into the nation.
Because that's the thing. And that's where people get it misconstrued. They think that, you know what, because Zimbabwe has, of course, there's been this change, a monumental change.
Yeah.
Everyone needs to go back.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we can actually do a lot from here.
Mm-hmm.
It's just sending things back home.
Exactly.
It's not just a physical presence. And another thing that people forget, I mean, I've had a lot of South African friends who've been speaking about, you know, talking about, yo, Zimbabwe, you guys feed yourself. So now, when mm-hmm. are you going back? And we're like, yo, we'll go back when your president can count to 10.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm trying to say.
But anyway, no, actually, but I mean, what people don't realize that if every Zimbabwean wants to pull out of South Africa this very minute, this economy would crash.
Yes, it
would
struggle.
Not just from a high-level point of view, where mm-hmm. we have so many people within the hierarchies and financial institutions, even within their government.
Yeah.
It's also the lower levels, you know,
yes.
the builders,
yes.
The guys who are fixing up the streets, cleaning the
so
streets.
So much work
the
is being put in, yeah.
So, I mean, and that's from a foreign point of view. That's them saying, oh, when you guys going back, and we're mm-hmm. like, oh, y'all actually need us.
Yeah.
We need each other.
Yeah. Like,
let me say basically, we need each other. Yeah. As Africans, we need each pan-Africanism. But also, as Zimbabweans, our biggest resource is our human capital.
Yes.
And we shouldn't shy away from exporting that.
Exactly.
We shouldn't shy away from sending ourselves out there, you know, getting work, training, and bringing investment back into the country.
Exactly.
That's how it works.
Yes, yes.
So, I mean, those are some of the things. I mean, and I like how you said that, you know, you got two homes, but you still, you know, recognize your roots and your culture.
Of course,
you
want to
definitely want to feed it
and
back.
And give something back to Zimbabwe, because there's no way that you can shy away from where you came from.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do recognize where I'm at, and I work very hard to put South Africa on the map on a lot of things that I do. I try and do them both at the same time. That's like I did the Kubatana Zimbabwe this mm-hmm. year. If you rewind just a bit more, I also did Viva Mandela for
Mandela.
Yeah,
yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I remember
that,
yeah.
Like, I try my I'm all about, like, Ubuntu. That's one of my mm-hmm. hashtags on my Twitter and everything. So that's the mindset that I try and carry, that I don't see Africa as independent nations. I see us as, like, satellite states of each other. You
word,
know what I mean? Like
word, American, dropping swag. That knowledge. You see, that's
yeah.
that Zimbabwe coming out. That's
you
definitely
I mean?
That Zimbabwe coming out right there.
You gotta.
Yo, Dada, you didn't, I mean, I remember you telling me that you actually grew up with D.L.E.S.
Yes,
yeah,
I did.
We had him on the show, I think, 2-3 weeks ago. He came through with
out.
Stunt Double,
yeah.
DJ D Double D.
Okay.
I told D Double D he needs to change his name. Why the D before the Double D? Like,
I know.
Like, I have to think
right?
first when I say it. I'm like, okay, DJ D Double D.
Yeah.
I'm like, why not just keep it DJ Double D? Like,
yeah.
That's four Ds.
He gets it.
But yeah, tell us a bit about, you know, you growing up with the North God.
Oh, man, like, okay, so when I came to SA, man, like, first I was in town. That was the first place. I'm sure that's, like, where all Zimbabweans, when
yeah,
we land up, we first go to town.
Yeah.
We spread out from the center. You know? So we went to the south. I was living in the south. I did my primary school in the south, Terfontein, Forest Hill, you know, and that was all good and stuff. And then my mom's like, nah, man, you need, like, it was getting very rough. A lot of gangsters out there, man.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, nah, not a good environment. So she moved to Randburg and she put me in the north. And out there I met Les, Bongani Fasi, Crazy Lou, like the whole of Josie, pretty much, like
yeah.
all my brothers. That's like my brothers. We used to skateboard together. Imagine.
Oh, wow.
Like, imagine me skating, bro. So it was like that. And he's a very cool dude, very humble man. He works hard, like
yeah.
10 years in the
yeah,
game.
Yeah, you gotta meet him to know that he's humble, though, because he's not.
Look, from TV, you don't
yeah.
look humble, but
yeah.
we're trying to sell the game, baby. You know what I mean? But he's a very cool
good
man.
Peoples, yeah.
Very cool man. And like, you look at his daughter, Madeline, beautiful little girl. He's a doting father on her.
Mm-hmm.
Like Crazy Lou. He's out in Cambodia right now. He's into property development and all other swag. He don't even make music. Calls himself Parker Jones. He's also a doting father. Very successful man right mm-hmm. now. Bongani Fasi, shout out the brother. He's still, hey, Bongs, you can never get him away from the keyboard. He's probably playing a beat right now. So that's the brother, you know what I mean? So that those are all the boys, man. And I was just blessed to be surrounded by such guys and see them all grow. And I feel like, you know, I'm also on that same path.
Word,
so it's,
word,
it's
word.
Much blessing.
And that unity, the fact that y'all still together, because we talked
yeah.
about, you know, you with Deleuze as well. He's
yeah.
like, yo, that's my brother. You know, we used
yeah.
to skate together. Okay, so Dada, so we have House of Stone. That's the 2017 drop.
Yes, sir.
What's next? Like, what's 2018 bringing for us?
Oh, man, so much, so much. We got a tour. Cape Town, I am seeing you so soon, because I've done the whole of SA, but I ain't done Cape Town yet, so I'm out there. I'll wear my second. You know what I mean? I'm gonna get it. I'm also looking at, I want to drop my second full, my album, official album, which I'm
okay.
gonna be calling The Heart and the Mind. So I want people to be ready for that. It's going to be a double album swag. That's going to be around about April time or so. So, you know, keep your eyes on the social media.
Okay. Have you already started working on that?
Yeah, well, I've conceptualized everything. I've got the ideas for where everything needs to go. It's just now to get it moving. I don't know why. Like, right now, either dudes are sleeping or performing. And, like, you know, yeah. Either way, unavailable.
Yeah.
So I'm waiting for Jan. Jan, we're going to be moving. Shows are coming through. So we're going to be killing that, too. And I feel like 2018 is award season. So Zim Hip Hop Awards, I see you. SA Hip Hop Awards,
yeah,
I see you.
Yeah,
we're
yeah.
on this. This year is award season, baby.
Alright, Dada. Any special collaborations we should expect? Are you going to work with any Zim artists?
I want to. And there's actually, it's a female artist that I want to work with, man. Kiki Badass.
Yeah, she just won 2 awards at the Zim Hip Hop Awards, right?
Yeah. I'm very proud of her, man. And I love her music. Like, from when she came on to my show and she played, I love it. So I want Kiki. I want some with with the Few Kings. I want to say.
Yeah. Shout out to Few Kings.
You know what I mean? Boys also won. Shout out the boys. Yeah. And yeah, man, that's about it. You know, I'm also going to be moving with the whole all-female crew next year, man, from DJ to backup.
Wow.
I'm trying to get an all-female band, so we'll see how that goes.
Hey, man, I'll be at every one of your shows.
Shout out. You know
I'll be at every one of your shows.
One love.
I'll be driving right behind y'all. Done that, a House of Stone, my brother, cliffcentral.com, no borders. Anyway, get House of Stone. You're going to be able to hear it here on cliffcentral.com. KF Malindi Jr., Done Dada, no borders, one.
This is cliffcentral.com.